was feeling better. The members of the Supreme Court, welcome. Attorney General Schuette. Secretary of State Johnson. I'd like to thank all the members of my cabinet. Thank you for being with us. And ladies and gentlemen of the legislature, thank you for being here and thank you so much. And I'd like to thank all my fellow public servants. Public service is a special thing, so thank you for your service to our state. And I'm happy to see several representatives here tonight, but I want to give special thanks to the men and women of Michigan serving in our armed forces. Service. It is truly something special. And then I want to thank all the citizens of Michigan. And finally, last but not least, I want to give special thanks to my family. In my first State of the State address, I spoke about the need to reinvent Michigan, with job one being jobs. Tonight is a continuation of that journey. In the 1800s, we had the natural resources era, Michigan 1.0. In the 1900s, we had the industrial era, Michigan 2.0. This century, it is time for the era of innovation, Michigan 3.0. We are on that path. We're getting it right, and we're getting it done. To reaffirm the need to reinvent Michigan, let's briefly look back at the past. Michigan had been in decline for several decades, with the last decade being particularly difficult. We were essentially tired and broken. In 2011, we made large strides to make Michigan a great state again. We came together and worked with relentless positive action at a dog-year's pace. While we should be proud of the progress, much remains to be done. So with that, let me get started. First, let's review a number of key measures on our statewide dashboard. There are 21 measures in 5 different areas. Don't panic, I'm not doing all 21. But I did want to highlight 5 of them. And for those at home, you can find the entire dashboard at www.michigan.gov/mi-dashboard. Number 1 is an exciting one. Our unemployment in the last 12 months has dropped from 11.1% to 9.3%. In November, we dropped below 10% for the first time in 3 years. In fact, we added nearly 80,000 private sector jobs during 2011. We've shown faster improvement than the United States average. And in particular, I'd mention the jobs we've added have been higher paying than the average for the rest of the United States. Now, number 2 is one we haven't done as well. Obesity in our state has increased 1 percentage point to 32% of our population. This is a disturbing trend. Everyone knows that health care costs are exploding and unsustainable in addition to the human damage from obesity. The key to the solution, though, is not government, but personal responsibility. We as Michiganders need to work together to do a better job on obesity. Number three, college readiness increased from 16 to 17%. While it's a 1% increase, this is unacceptable. We need to be 100% college and career ready for our young people. Number four, our bond rating. Our actual ratings didn't change, but we're moving in a positive direction. One of the bond rating agencies has increased our outlook from neutral to positive, a good sign that we're heading in the right direction. Number five, our crime statistics statewide have improved. While this is good, we have four of the top 10 cities on the most violent crime list for the United States: Flint, Saginaw, Pontiac, and Detroit. And in 2012, we're going to focus on this and resolve this issue. I'd also like to mention some non-dashboard indicators about our state. First, the automotive industry has made a major comeback. Last week I was at the North American Auto Show, and I was proud to say that Detroit is still the undisputed auto capital of the world. The next group I'm going to mention has been too often not talked about and forgotten, but they're critically important. They've been the unsung heroes of our economy, and that's the people in agriculture. Over the last decade, they've been one of the shining lights for our state. And we need to remember, we're the second most diverse agricultural state in the nation, and we're going to continue to grow and do better. So I want to say thank you to everyone in the agriculture industry. Tourism's on a positive path. Pure Michigan is working well. Now we just need more snow. As an extra note, I'm very excited about dropping the flag on the Soup 500 in a couple weeks, one of the premier winter snowmobile events in the entire nation. And now I'd like to give special recognition. I'm pleased to say Dan Musser is with us tonight in the audience. Dan, stand up. Most of us know Dan's representing the Grand Island, Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island, and we want to wish him happy birthday. 125 years and going strong. I also want to mention our team has been working with Senator Casperson and Representative Hookey, among others, on exciting opportunities in mining in the UP and the timber industry in northern Michigan. So thank you. We are rebuilding Michigan's image as a great place to do business. We had a very successful trade mission to Asia. We're delivering on substance now, so it's time to spread the message. And that's why I'll be making trips to both Europe and Asia to talk about why Michigan is the place to do business in the world. And I want to mention one other index that doesn't get mentioned often. It's the Atlas Van Line Moving Index. For the past 6 years, we had more people moving out of Michigan than we had moving in. In 2011, we've stopped that trend. Now tonight I'm excited to count Captain John James of the United States Army as the people among us who has chosen to call Michigan home because they see a bright future here. Captain James, where are you? Stand up, please. Now, while Captain James has traveled the world and been recently stationed in Michigan, as he ends his military service this year, he's chosen Michigan to stay to join the family business, a 40-year-old business, the James Group International in Detroit. Now, the James Group International is a very successful organization. It's already working with the Detroit Wayne County Port Authority to be part of a port revitalization plan. Because of this partnership, the company estimates they'll create 15 new jobs this year. So we're pleased that Captain James is here tonight, along with his dad, John, and his brother, Lauren. So thank you, gentlemen, for being with us. So now let's discuss 2011, both in terms of accomplishments, initiatives started that we need to finish, and challenges. 2011 was the year to attack our legacy problems and to change course from downward to upward. The key targets were to create an environment that encourages job creation and to create a financially sound state government. I truly want to thank my partners in the state legislature. Through partnership, we accomplished a lot. Overall, we passed 323 public acts in 2011, but more important than quantity was quality. Thank you so much. Working together, we passed a financially sound budget. We had to address $1.5 billion deficit that demanded tough decisions. And I appreciate all the shared sacrifices that people made. Michigan is just like a family. In tough times, we have to find ways to live within our means. Working together, though, we stopped the practices of using budget gimmicks or taking short-term actions that would actually harm us long-term. Even in these difficult times, we made payments towards Michigan's long-term liability costs. In addition, we made the first deposit to Michigan's rainy day fund since 2004. The fund had run down to a balance that would only operate state government for 30 minutes. And the last thing is, this was the fastest budget process in the last 30 years, which was a tremendous help to our local governments and schools. So thank you so much for that hard work. And I really appreciate the extra support of our appropriation chairs, Senator Kahn and Representative Moss. Thank you. Next was tax reform. A good tax system has three basic elements: simple, fair, and efficient. Our system failed on all three of these principles for both business and individuals. So working together, we eliminated the Michigan business tax. As many of you have heard me say, the Michigan business tax was just plain dumb. In addition to failing all three principles, it was a job killer that imposed an unfair double tax burden on our best job creators, our small and medium-sized business people. Although it didn't disappear until the end of 2011, many business people have already gained confidence in our future and have taken action. And I want to recognize one example. One example is Neiman's Family Markets, based in Alpena, which is in Representative Battaglia's district. And Hal Neiman is with us tonight. Hal, stand up, please. They've already added 5 employees and expect to hire 100 more because of these reforms. Thank you, Hal. And on the Michigan business tax, I want to also give one note of special recognition, and that's to Lieutenant Governor Calley, who helped lead the way and work tirelessly on the tax reform situation. We also completed a major reform of our individual income tax system. We changed the personal tax system to one defined by fairness, one that doesn't treat anyone better than anyone else. We've leveled the playing field to give all Michiganders a fair shake for the long term. We made major improvements with local government reforms that encourage more accountability and transparency, better cost management of healthcare costs, and service sharing between communities. For example, we now have 435 jurisdictions doing dashboards. We created a $5 million pool to fund innovative collaborations between governments. And the first award out of this pool was to Grand Rapids, Flint, and Lansing to jointly process their income tax returns. The $550,000 award they received will result in over $2 million of savings over the next 9 years. This exercise in best practice was due to the great partnership with the legislature, and I'd especially like to thank Representative Mark Ouimet for his effort on this. We completed much of our education reform package. As I said earlier, our current standing of only having 17% of our students being college ready is unacceptable. Our children are our future, and we need to make sure they are not just college ready, but career ready. We need to start in early childhood and finish with lifelong learning, whether it's college or vocational training. We launched the Office of Great Start to focus on our youngest children. I want to thank the Foundation Committee for helping championship early childhood education. Teacher tenure reform was accomplished. Now we have a better system to support our teachers, recognize their critical role, and create an environment that supports their success. We provided our students and parents with more school choice by removing the cap on charter schools. Now we need to make sure we're raising the performance bar on all schools. We have work to complete. I encourage the legislature to finish the work on dual enrollment and cyber learning. Also, I'd appreciate your support on legislation for the Educational Achievement Authority, which is our initiative to turn around our poorest performing schools. Our goal is to have the Educational Achievement Authority educating children by this September. In September, I gave a special message on health and wellness. As I mentioned in the dashboard, we have much to improve. Again, the most important item would be taking personal responsibility for our own wellness. As you know, I signed up for my own personal commitment. I'm 6 pounds towards my goal of losing 10 pounds, but still have some work to go. I ask all of Michiganders to join me in this effort. This isn't about who's the biggest loser. This is how we can all win together. I ask the legislature to continue their work on autism and the Michigan Health Marketplace. There are now medically proven treatments for autism. 27 other states already require insurers to cover evidence-based therapies for autism. The human and financial costs of autism are too high. Let's address this important topic. The Michigan Health Marketplace is our effort to give people the tools they need to make informed decisions on selecting high quality and affordable care. It's the healthcare equivalent of Travelocity or Orbitz. When was the last time you called five airlines to book an airplane ticket? If we fail to act in a timely basis, we are on a path to have a federally imposed system defined by people who don't live nor work in our state. I urge the legislature to seize the opportunity for Michigan citizens. Tonight I'm pleased to announce a new program. Pure Michigan Fit. It's a partnership between Gerber, the Michigan Grocers Association, and the Michigan Health and Hospital Association to address childhood obesity. It's a nutrition-based program to give parents and caregivers the information they need to raise happy, healthy kids. We also took great strides this year to protect our most vulnerable citizens. Elder abuse is the fastest growing crime in Michigan. The Senate has already passed bills which give vulnerable adults special witness protection against abusers, allow advocates to speak on their behalf when they are unable to, and establish a senior alert program. I urge the House to move the package of bills to my desk for signature. Michigan is home to nearly 700,000 men and women who have served this country. Many have access to VA health care but are unaware or choose not to use it because of a cumbersome process. Today, only 19% of our veterans use VA health care. We will continue to work with veterans groups and the federal government to ensure our veterans get the benefits they have earned and deserve. I'd like to thank the legislature for their support in this area, especially Representatives Zorn and France and Senators Kohlbeck and Molinar. Thank you. Just as individuals cannot neglect their own health, the state cannot afford to neglect the health of our physical infrastructure. Shortly, a bipartisan package of bills will be introduced to create a system of roads and bridges for the 21st century economy. One illustration of our current backward system is our road funding formulas from 1951, over 60 years ago. Even more important, studies have shown that we are underinvesting in our transportation infrastructure by upwards of $1.4 billion per year. Now, almost no one in Michigan likes our road system. Let's solve this problem. I urge the legislature to begin hearings on this important issue. Now, another persistent problem that we face is a lack of a truly regional transit system for southeastern Michigan. We are working in partnership with the City of Detroit, with the four surrounding counties, and the U.S. Department of Transportation to develop a new bus rapid transit system, a BRT, to service the entire region. It's 40 years overdue. I encourage your support. Now, the final special message of last year was on talent. This is truly a case of last but not least. Our greatest asset is our talent, our people. Now, traditionally, the public sector has focused on talent through workforce development. Now, this isn't good enough. We can minimize waste and add real results for people by better aligning where careers are and will be with our people and their skills that they have and that they need. We started this process in the fall with Pure Michigan Talent Connect. I encourage all of our young people and anyone looking for a job or career to go to mitalent.org. This new portal is to get our citizens better connected. There are nearly 70,000 jobs on this site. If we filled all these positions, our unemployment rate would drop by another 2% almost. And many of these are very good jobs, by the way, such as welder, accountant, or nurse. But again, this is more than simply a job site. It has tools for letting people look at their skills and the financial return that would be available for various careers. Please check it out. Our talent agenda also emphasized the unemployment rate in Michigan is far too high for our veterans. For our veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan, our unemployment rate was approximately 29%. This isn't right, and we need to act. I encourage all employers to place a priority on hiring our veterans. We need help from our federal partners to create immigration opportunities for individuals who have advanced degrees or are entrepreneurs. Having these individuals building businesses in Michigan would create new jobs for our citizens. Right here in Michigan, we need to remember that immigrants were the founders of Dow, Meyer, and Masco. And we're going to be working on this effort with support from Michigan universities, the Michigan Regional Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, the Operating Engineers Union, and the Teamsters. I appreciate all of their support and hope others will join us in this effort. In addition to the special messages, we took a number of other very important actions. First, we began a dialogue on reducing taxes on industrial equipment, which needs to continue. Michigan's been a world leader in manufacturing, and we want good job growth to happen in this important economic sector. Now, this conversation needs to be done in partnership with our local jurisdictions, since it's a critical part of their revenue. Let's look for a long-term solution that generates more and better jobs while properly supporting our communities. We accomplished major reforms of our state pension and retiree medical system. These reforms moved our benefit structure to better align with the private sector so that we'll remain a good place to work while at the same time reducing our long-term liabilities by more than $5 billion. While we focused on more and better jobs and financially sound government, we've also committed to helping the most in need. Government always needs to consider the human side of things. All children need a strong, loving network, especially those in state care. So we strengthened our commitment to children's services in Michigan. Of the children seeking an adoptive family last year, the Department of Human Services was able to place 70% or more than 2,500 of these children with a permanent family. But more children become available every day for adoption. But now I'd like to recognize one family. The Moreland family of Canton is a wonderful example of the joys of adoption. The Moreland family could stand up, please. Let me tell you about the Moreland family. Lamar and Holly Moreland already had two beautiful biological children, Derek and Hunter. But through their work in the judicial and legal system, Lamar and Holly knew they wanted to expand their family through adoption. Last fall, they were matched to the Michigan Adoption Resource Exchange after seeing photos of 12-year-old Dexter and 7-year-old Haley. Everything worked out. Dexter and Haley have made the adjustment and are doing well in school. They have found their forever family. Thank you. There were two new public acts in 2011 that struck a special chord in my heart. One was the extension of foster care services to age 21 instead of age 18 for young adults who would otherwise have aged out of foster care. This change will make a big difference in their young lives. And I want to give special recognition to Western Michigan University, which is already providing special support to 141 young adults in this age group through their CETA Scholars program. The second public act I was going to mention was probably among the most emotional moments for me personally at the bill signing, and that was the passage of the anti-bullying law. There is no excuse for bullying, and after 10 years of effort, we took legislative action. As a person who was bullied when I was young, I say thank you. Well or smoothly in 2011, and I would mention two areas in particular. First, we did not succeed in moving ahead with the new international trade crossing. We need to continue our efforts on this topic since it's not a bridge issue, it's a jobs issue. One-third of the North American economy can be found by circling Chicago to Montreal. We're right in the middle. Let's not let special interests hold back a great opportunity for job creation, especially since this project can be done without any Michigan taxpayer dollars. Second, a number of our cities and schools are suffering major financial distress. This problem is not a new one, but it's an important topic that we should fully address in 2012. When I came into office, we had 6 cities or school districts under emergency financial management. Last year, one more joined the list. Now, there's a lot of speculation as to why jurisdictions got in trouble. The overriding common feature is that they've lost population without a corresponding right-sizing of their cost structure. But the long-term answer is not simply about cutting costs. It's how to create a financially solid foundation so that growth can occur again. The state's role is to help jurisdictions solve their own problems. In that regard, we passed the Fiscal Accountability Act, often known as PA4. It addressed two main issues missed by its predecessor. First, it helps communities identify and solve problems as soon as possible and prior to a financial emergency. Second, when there is a financial emergency, it's intended to quickly and effectively solve the problems so the community can get back on a positive path. Some people may wonder what we're talking about when the term financial emergency is used. Think about a situation where employees are not going to get their paychecks, suppliers are not getting paid, bond payments are being missed, or financial statements cannot be completed. These are critical problems. The new law is helping. And tonight, I want to let any jurisdiction that's struggling with its finances to know we are committed at the state level to be a supportive partner to help you resolve your challenges. And tonight, I would like to recognize Mayor Bing for being with us tonight. Mayor Bing, if you'd take a stand up. It is important for all Michiganders to understand that having a thriving, growing Detroit is critical to all of us. Detroit has many exciting developments going on, and resolving the city's financial challenges would clear the path to a bright future. I want to thank the Foundation community for their support of our Office of Urban Initiatives. This office is serving as our key resource interfacing with the cities. Now, the last item I want to talk about regarding 2011 is our effort for regulatory reinvention. It's underway and will be continuing into 2012. So far, we've rescinded nearly 400 obsolete, confusing, and burdensome regulations, we need a regulatory environment that is conducive to business growth and job creation while making sure we are properly protecting our citizens. Now, this year, we're going to continue our regulatory reinvention by eliminating rules that simply don't make sense. And I was going to share three simple examples with you. First, we have a rule mandating the size of a barber's wastebasket and how many times it must be emptied. I just got a haircut. My barber wasn't aware of this particular rule. Second, we have a rule requiring child care providers to smile. Finally, and this shouldn't be surprising, and I appreciate our leadership today, but the Department of Environmental Quality has 28 separate requirements for outhouses, including a requirement that the seat not be left up. I don't know about you, but I have a higher authority at home. I don't need the state telling me that. It's going to be an interesting evening. Now let's talk about 2012. 2012 will be a very different year from 2011. 2011 was focused on dramatic policy improvements over a broken model of the past. We've set a bright course for the future. 2012 is about finishing that work, the work left over from 2011, tackling a limited number of unaddressed challenges, and really making this year about good government. It's not about big government or small government. It's about good government. Government doing the right things for the right reasons. Let's fully implement what we've already started and giving you, our citizens, great customer service. I am going to do a special message in March. It will be on the topic of public safety. We need to improve. As I mentioned earlier, we have four of the top most violent cities in the United States. This message will have three key components: an increase in law enforcement, major improvements in how our criminal justice system operates, and a jobs component. It will focus on the places of greatest need. Second, in the fall, I'll give a special message on energy and the environment. We need to be more strategic by focusing on the intersection of job creation, affordability, science, and sustainability. We need to continue Michigan's leadership in protecting the Great Lakes, one of the world's greatest natural assets. Third, I'd like to work with the legislature on how to improve our laws related to lobbying, campaign finance, and ethics for both state and local government. For example, we should have more frequent and better disclosure of campaign contributions, and we should have stronger rules governing employment of people who negotiate state contracts while in government service. On the implementation of good government, we'll have efforts on two levels. One track will be focused on state government itself and how it operates. The second track will be as a supportive partner to our local jurisdictions. Now, the four guiding principles of good government will be how we operate in this way. And let me share those four principles with you. First, we need to deliver outstanding customer service to our citizens. We need to do this by creating an environment for job creation, creating a great quality of life, and providing a safety net for those most in need. Second, we need to deliver real results for real people. And there are three components to this principle. We need to show you, our citizens, measurable results. The dashboard that I spoke of tonight is just the summary. We are instituting a comprehensive system that includes dashboards, which are external measures, and scorecards, which are internal measures. We need to continue to work on being effective and efficient. We need to eliminate government waste. And we need to be thoughtful and human in all our actions. We are here to serve the people. And on this topic, I'm pleased to say we were successful in the collective bargaining process with our union employees. We came to a winning solution together. In particular, I'm looking forward to our joint effort to better empower our hardworking state employees while delivering better customer service to our citizens. Third, we need to continue to deliver on both short and long-term financial responsibility. This year, we became a positive role model for the rest of the country on this topic. We closed a large deficit and started paying down our long-term liabilities. We were a clear contrast to the federal government and its debt ceiling crisis. I encourage them to look to Michigan as the place for answers. I encourage the legislature to work together on a repeat performance of prompt and sound budgeting. We don't face a deficit this year, which is great, but let us show real leadership in how to strategically invest and save for the future and not simply spend money because it's there. The principle of good governance is to recognize the state government's role is to be a team player and not a solution on our own. We need to continue to serve as a catalyst for success in having all of us work together and win together. As I've often said, our role is not to create jobs, but to create an environment that encourages job creation. Now that I've outlined these operating philosophies for good government, I'd like to share just one example that we actually saw in 2011. The Michigan State Police got rid of their old service delivery model that was based on bricks and mortar and geographic boundaries, and instead focused on where crime occurs. They reduced the total number of state police posts from 62 to 29, making their patrol vehicles essentially mobile command posts and putting nearly 150 sergeants back into the field, protecting and serving you, our citizens. Thank you, Colonel Etchew and the Michigan State Police. Now, I want to share the two most frequent pieces of advice I received before I took office. The first one was to be bold. Simply fixing Michigan was not good enough. The second often came moments after the first, which was, don't set expectations too high. Now, I accepted the first and rejected the second. We are being bold in reinventing Michigan, but it requires setting high expectations. You can only build a brighter future by setting a higher standard. In 2011, we set that standard and accomplished many things that many thought were impossible. 2011 was the year of building the foundation for good government. 2012 needs to be the year of implementing good government. I want to conclude tonight with a topic I've been talking about for years. It's our greatest opportunity. It's more important than any law or regulation. It's fundamental to the reinvention of Michigan and to having us become a great state again. Simply put, we must reinvent our culture. We are still too negative, too divisive, and too many believe the best days are behind us. We need to be positive, inclusive, and confident that Michigan holds a bright future for our children and their children. It's great to look back at last year and take pride in all the things that were done, even these things that conventional wisdom said we couldn't do. It's great to have our unemployment drop to 9.3%. It's great that the auto company shared with me last week they're all going to be hiring in Michigan in 2012. But we cannot afford to slow down. We must maintain the sense of urgency that we shared all last year. We must finish what we started. I believe the greatest key to our success in Michigan this past year was due to a philosophy of relentless, positive action. No blame, no credit, just finding common ground and solving problems. I ask that all Michiganders join me in this effort. Together, we will move Michigan forward and become a great state. God bless you and the great state of Michigan. Thank you.
This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Yes, 6 minutes after the hour, finishes just before the network break at 8 o'clock as he shakes hands with the people at the podium. The governor's speech is a little different this year than last year as he shakes the hand with Lieutenant Governor Calley. Mr. Richard Rivera now moves off to say hello to the members of the Supreme Court and then pick up his family and then leave as he entered down the center aisle. We'll let you look at that picture for a second, but let me introduce our panelists who have been anxiously chomping at the bit to jump in here with some analysis of what they just heard. And I'm equally as interested to hear. We have Vicki Thomas and Bill Ballinger.
The escort officers will escort the governor, First Lady, and First Family,
and Frank Beckman and Ron Swinkowski. All right, guys, let's start this discussion with one word, an adjective, Vicki, to describe the speech.
Upbeat and very safe.
All right, Mr. Ballinger.
Boring.
Yeah.
Safe.
Safe, definitely.
Relentless.
Timid.
Relentless.
No. The word is timid. This was not a bold speech, was it, guys?
Is it timid Skubik?
No. Please, a timid speech. What was the nuts and bolts?
There were no nuts and bolts. Nuts and bolts. But
nothing to hang your hat on.
No, and I say relentless because of the sort of big finish at the end is we're going to finish what we started. And this guy actually, he does seem to act in dog years, as he said, and he is a relentless positive force.
And he's relentless in avoiding conflict, and that's where the
would
safe
like
comes
to be.
In.
Would like to be.
He didn't address the elephant in the room. He talked a little bit about the problem in Detroit, but
Which of the many elephants are you referring to?
Well, all right, give me some other ones.
Well, I mean, Detroit's problem is one, right?
That's the huge elephant in the room.
He could have talked about a lot more.
And there are a few other things. We've got a crime problem, but I'll deal with that down the road.
Personal property tax wasn't mentioned.
And you all know last year I was disappointed that crime was not a topic. Yeah. This year it gets a cursory mention,
but no detail.
Basically,
a lot of this stuff, let's just talk about this. Maybe the speech is not to give direction, but I think state of the states are supposed to do that.
Well,
he
set the bar very low going into the speech. He said, don't expect much. Well, he didn't deliver much.
Yeah.
Basically, we should have taken him at his word. If we expected surprises or drama, we didn't get it.
A traditional state of the state speech is, here's what we've accomplished, and here are things we need to do. And in many cases, it was a governor's wish list as well.
Right.
I'm not sure I know exactly what he's wishing for here, except that Michigan gets to be a better place and we all hold hands and work together.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bridge, of course.
Here's what's interesting. The wish list includes the Educational Achievement Authority, autism coverage, the health exchange, a senior alert system, Pure Michigan Fit, and a new formula for road funding, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah. What he's going to do on road funding, which he could have mentioned tonight, is that they're going to mess around with the registration fees on your car. The original number they threw out was $120 per car. Well, the guys in the legislature went, that's a non-starter.
It's doubling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so they're going to lower that number, and they're going to make it based on the Maserati that you own. You'll pay a little bit more.
It'll be more on the value of the car than on the weight.
Precisely. Yeah. Mr. Ballinger, how old is your Pontiac?
It's not a Pontiac, but it's ancient.
It's a Buick.
Ancient.
He'll pay a little bit less.
85 Cadillac.
But he doesn't put this into the hopper for the lawmakers to begin work on. Basically, we're going to talk. We want you to quote. Here's the quote. Hold some hearings.
Yeah.
You know what the administration secretly knows? This is not going to happen this year until lame duck, if then because it's an election year.
Well, that could be. And also, look, he doesn't really need to rouse the citizenry behind a lot of these things. He's got the votes in the legislature. If he can make deals with the majority Republicans in the House and Senate, Richardville and Bolger, he can get some of this stuff going. He doesn't have to get up tonight and thump the tub.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Boring is good.
Well, what about,
boring is good. That actually would have been my headline. This is the most boring state of the state ever. But that may be a good thing.
That's what he doesn't have to do for the legislature. But what about what he's got to do for the citizens of Michigan?
Right.
But part of, I think that that was part of the message as well, where he claimed credit for what's already been done. This legislature, I think we can all agree, whether we have accord on what they did or not, had such a record of achievement with the 320-some acts that they passed last year. I mean, they passed more bills than anything.
As an anti-government guy, you must be rolling over in your grave. 332 bills?
No. Some of it is very good. Eliminating the MBT right at the top of the list.
Well, that's one.
Well, that's a huge one, though, Tim.
Yeah.
But I think what they did in getting PA4 passed, in eliminating the MBT, the teacher tenure reform, I thought this was a major development here in the state. And I think they accomplished so much that maybe it's inevitable that this year's speech was boring.
Well, let's talk about the controversy that PA4 brings. I mean, it's got a court challenge. You have people marching on the governor's home. You know, why not?
What he tried
other than tell them we want to work with you collectively. And people in Detroit are angry, and not just in Detroit, because they consider this a voting rights issue.
Some do. Some do.
This
some of the
issue has
do.
Gotten international coverage, and it gets a cursory mention in the speech.
I think this was a missed opportunity. I think this is where you look in that camera, and I want to speak to the people of Detroit tonight.
Right.
We are all in this together. Now, he's sort of talked about it. Okay, I'm supporting all the cities, but that's kind of fluff. Get down to the real nitty-gritty and say, look,
on that issue, I think you're absolutely right. But again, this isn't requiring any additional legislation or initiatives in the legislature.
No.
But he's explaining what they did, why they did,
right.
And this is a golden opportunity, the best he'll ever have.
Some ways, he's banking on people already understanding what PA4 is.
But they don't.
A lot of people implementing it.
You're right.
May not either.
There is no finality to the challenge yet. I mean, the deadline was just extended by the people handing out the petitions to try to repeal
it. Right, until the end of February.
So they say it's to get more signatures. It may be that they don't have enough. We don't know. Why address that if you don't have to at this point?
Well, but because of what's going on in Detroit,
mayor of Detroit in the audience, mm-hmm. is the state's
largest city.
Yes, that I thought was one of the stories out of this.
That was probably the most shocking thing that came out of that
speech. Let's take a look at that bite that the governor said with regard to the city of Detroit. Let's take a look at that, please.
Detroit has many exciting developments going on, and resolving the city's financial challenges would clear the path to a bright future. I want to thank the Foundation community for their support of our Office of Urban Initiatives. This office is serving as our key resource interfacing with the cities. Now, the last item I want to talk about regarding 2011 is our effort for regulatory reinvention. It's underway, and we'll be continuing into 2012.
All right, so what he should have said is, look, I don't want to send in an emergency manager. Please don't make me do this. And
right.
we're working to get there so we don't have to go there.
He gave
exactly.
a better explanation the other night when people showed up at the gates of his house in Superior Township and protested. He said, this is not about race. This is about getting the fiscal house in order and getting jobs going in Detroit and improving the economy. That was actually more articulate than anything you heard tonight, and he had a much bigger audience to be able to address that issue tonight.
And I was impressed by the applause when he said that we all understand that Detroit is essential to the state of Michigan, or that Detroit's success is critical to the state of Michigan. Enormous round of applause for that. And after the applause, the standing ovation for Mayor Bing when he stood up. So it seems to me there was an opportunity there. The legislature gets it. The legislature understands how important it is, and he could have been more direct in saying, these are citizens of Michigan, too, in Detroit, and we need to help the people of Detroit, or, as you suggested, look straight in the camera and try and talk to them, which is probably what Jennifer Granholm would have done.
I'm with you on the missed opportunity, especially on PA4 in this way. You had a chance up there tonight to talk about the success of PA4 and the way it's
Benton
worked
Harbor.
In Benton Harbor, the way it's been working in Pontiac.
Should have introduced Joe Harris.
Exactly right. And taking advantage of this opportunity to show, right, I mentioned that he worked in Detroit.
As the
auditor, but you had a chance to show that this system works and that control is turned back over to the local community, which it is. That's mm-hmm. lost on some people, to Vicki's point earlier about not understanding it.
And also, a lot of people also believe it's